saw there was a naked lady on TV. She had no care, she had no shame, she had little propellers on. My friend, he said, I can't help but look at this naked lady's body. I said, dear friend, you got a dirty mind, stick your head in a fire hydrant. Earlier that evening, I went to a banquet, hoping she might be there. But she wasn't, so I went to this other girl's house who was freaked out on drugs. So later after that, after the first part of the song, on my way home, I'm going back to the place that I used to call home. I'm going back to the place where the antelope never roam. Wild West Virginia, home of the naive. This boy'd be mighty pleased to see them rolling hills, rolling hills. Though I don't like John Denver, but I remember those rolling hills. I got a backwoods woman, underprivileged mama, farmer in the dale. Crooked politicians, crater bum roads. But oh, I love it so, those rolling hills. Wild West Virginia, rolling hills. Wild West Virginia, get to shipping by the Howl River in the cold winter. Snowflake falls on your face, you feel just like an iceberg. But I wouldn't trade it for the sticky hot weather in Texas. I'm gonna make an exodus to the rolling hills. Wild West Virginia, rolling hills. Wild West Virginia. I get this wheeling feeling, singing like Slim Whitman. Oh, how I wanna go home. Away from them big steady slickers, skinny intellectuals in them tall buildings. Back to Wild West Virginia, home of the naive. This boy be mighty pleased to see them rolling hills. Wild West Virginia, rolling hills. God is an artist, and he painted a pretty picture.
Next,
you won't even know who you are or what you're doing. Just you and your shadow on the wall.
Hi, welcome to Career Fast Track. I'm your host, Philippe DeRoche. It's good to be here. We have a special show, a special guest with us here today. We're talking to an author of a book called Get More Money on Your Next Job in Any Economy. Lee Miller is with us here. He's had a long history of negotiating his salary, from negotiating his first salary and increasing his salary by 50% way back when he got started. So I think we have a lot of things to learn from him. So welcome to Career Fast Track, and welcome, Lee. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Philippe. It's great to be on your show.
That's good to be here. I have lots of questions for you. I'm actually quite looking forward to chatting with you. What are the benefits of negotiating your salary?
Oh, huge. Just a small, itty-bitty increase in salary, say $5,000, not that that's so itty-bitty these days, but could mean like $1 million over the course of your career, because every raise you get, every salary increase gets compounded over the years. And so just a small salary increase can mean hundreds of thousands of dollars over your career.
You know, I've heard that your first raise is your largest raise, and I think what you just said there reflects that statement quite accurately. Why are you so passionate about negotiating salaries, and what made you write this book? I'm always curious about motivations.
Well, my career started, I was an employment lawyer, so I was doing a lot of negotiating. But most of my career spent in human resources. I was the head of human resources at Barney's New York USA Networks and TV Guide. And I saw that, and now, of course, I work with individuals and corporations. So we're helping people negotiate their salary. And I see the difference. Not only is it negotiating salary, but negotiating your ability to do the job. I mean, one of the big mistakes people make when they take a new job is not negotiating the tools they will need to be successful. And that can make all the difference between whether or not you have a great career or whether you fail in a job. So it's not only salary, it's not only even perks and benefits, it's you know, having the right staff, having the right budget, having the right tools, the right equipment. All of that is part of negotiating. So negotiating is, frankly, the key to being successful, not only in employment, but in throughout your life. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. And I feel like both my writing and teaching in this area helps people. And I've been told by some of my students that what they learned helped them throughout their lives.
That's fantastic. What, you know, if you're just joining us now, we're speaking to the author of Get More Money on Your Next Job in Any Economy, Lee Miller. I have a question for you. Do most people negotiate their salary?
No, and especially in times like now when the economy is weak, most people are afraid to negotiate their salary, or they just take what's given to them, and that's a huge mistake, because sometimes not negotiating actually will make your employer think, wait a second, am I hiring the right person? Because if you're not negotiating for yourself, how effective are you going to be negotiating for the company? So it's not even necessarily a good career move to not negotiate. It's certainly from a personal standpoint, what you lose in not negotiating can be devastating. So I think, you know, it's a huge mistake. And frankly, you can always negotiate, if not your salary, some aspect of your employment arrangement. The key is timing. Mm. It's not can you do it, it's when can you do it, and when should you do it.
I see. You know, I had heard a very scary stat that up to 90% of employers lose respect for the candidate when they don't negotiate. I don't know if you can, you know, we can say it's that high, but I think that the point of saying that there is a lot of value in negotiating. Would you agree with that statement, though, that if you don't negotiate, you actually are seen as lesser than in some form?
Absolutely, especially at higher levels. So above, you know, maybe if you're brand new out of school, not that you can't, because many of my students actually have written back to me and said they use the techniques they learned to even negotiate in their first job. But, you know, certainly if you're a mid-level manager and up, if you're an executive or a senior executive, if you don't negotiate, you will be looked down upon, and it can create doubts, and then you will lose respect, because, trust me, no employer, at least no employer you actually want to work for, is going to give you everything that they have in their initial offer, because if you don't accept, they've got no place to go.
Right, so they need some room to maneuver, and that's standard.
Right, it's expected, and as I said, if you don't ask for something, if you don't ask for more than you originally offered, you're certainly going to be leaving stuff on the table in almost every instance.
You know, it's funny, I had an HR director on my show, and she'd said that she always leaves room for negotiations. And she'd said that most don't negotiate. And every time they don't, she's always shocked. Why do you think so many people are resistant to negotiating?
One, they don't know how. They haven't read my books. Two, they don't know that it's expected. And they're afraid that if they do negotiate, they might lose the job offer. And again, in times when the economy is tough like it is now, people you know, who have a job offer are concerned that if they negotiate, they might lose it. But the truth of the matter is, I've never heard of or seen anyone lose a job offer because they asked for something. You can lose it if you ask for it in the wrong way or negotiate in the wrong way, but No one loses a job offer because they negotiate. They just lose it if they negotiate badly or in the wrong way.
Mm. Lee, I'd actually like to talk a bit about that. How can you make a traumatic or terrible mistake you can make in negotiating that could potentially piss off the employer?
Demanding. It's really the way you ask. And, you know, if you ask something, could you do this? It's one thing you say, look, I'm not going to take this offer unless you give me X. You know, my inclination, no one likes to be threatened. So if you ask in that way, then my inclination is go. I don't want you. So it's the biggest mistake, I think, is either demanding or saying, if you don't give me this, then I'm going to take another job offer, or I'm not going to take your offer. That's a huge mistake because nobody wants to be threatened.
You know, I think so. What you're basically saying, it's pretty clear, but I think it's important to highlight, is the detriment or the number one reason why your people out there are not necessarily making the kind of money that they're asking for. Because you said a very interesting quote, which I actually made a note of writing it down. You don't get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate. And I thought that was well put. I think a lot of people, that's where people say it's not fair. So let's talk to that person right now. I'm not being paid what I'm worth, and it's not fair. What's your advice to them?
Life's not fair would be my response to that. And, you know, if you're worth it, then if you negotiate for it, you will get it.
You know, I have this close family friend. She's been making $35,000 for the last 15 years. She is grossly underpaid, and yet she is stuck. She just cannot bring it upon herself to ask for more money. How can we get a woman like that unstuck?
Well, first she needs to understand that she's being taken advantage of. Women, you know, there are other issues. There are gender differences as well that make women, you know, both actually better negotiators when they know how, and less actually willing to negotiate, less likely to negotiate. So to get her unstuck, the first thing I would do is make her feel like, one, you know, kind of the fairness in reverse. The fact that you haven't been given a raise in that many years is unfair. And the only way you're going to get it, the only way you'd be treated fairly, is if you negotiate. And if this employer won't treat you fairly, then, and you are being underpaid, there are other employers out there who will.
Yeah, I think the way you're putting it is, you did say something about gender negotiations. Negotiate for yourself as if you were negotiating for someone else. You said that in your book. And I think when the woman is doing that, she's more likely to advocate for someone else than herself. Is that correct?
Right. That's one of the issues that differentiates between men and women. Men have no problem asking for themselves. We're just basically selfish, I guess. And we have no problem doing that. Women somehow feel like it's unseemly or inappropriate to negotiate for themselves, but have no trouble, once they know how, negotiating for others, especially people they care about. Mm-hmm. So the advice that I give, and that would be the chapter that deals with gender differences in the Get More Money book, is to negotiate for yourself as if you were negotiating for someone else that you cared about.
Yeah, you mentioned that there's actually a chapter that you specifically address the gender issue regarding negotiations in the book we're actually talking about mostly in this show, Get More Money on Your Next Job in Any Economy. You were also mentioning that you've got a new book out there, Women's Guide to Successful Negotiating. I mean, you wrote an entire book on it. I think it's releasing at the end of...
That expands significantly on the chapter I wrote in the Get More Money. And it deals not only with negotiating employment, but negotiating divorce, negotiating to buy a car, to sell your house, negotiating in all aspects of life.
You know, I should, let's make this personal here. I have one of my best friends, is both him and his wife do extremely well. Wife's a notary, and the company noticed that she was starting to hunker down to have a baby. She started talking about baby around the office, and she started getting less of the premier the accounts, and they were kind of, and my buddy could see that. So I'd like to address this issue a bit here on the gender differences. Actually, we'll probably do that after the break. But during the break, I'd just like to put it out there and kind of ask you after the break to address this issue of whether you're a woman or the husband. How can we address this issue? We'll start with a specific example where someone who's seemingly going to become pregnant and they start to be put on the out and not in the the decision-making table. If you're just joining us, we have been speaking to Lee Miller, Get More Money on Your Next Job in Any Economy. The commitment in having him on the show is quite simple. You are worth a certain amount, but it's life, as Lee says, is not fair. It's your opportunity to actually negotiate for your value. After the break, we'll talk more gender differences between negotiations. I also want to talk about, should you negotiate in your first job? What if you do if you're unemployed? I mean, you're desperate. You don't have a job. What are you going to do? So all those things after the break. Don't go anywhere. Back in about 45 seconds.
Fruit Salad, Thursday nights at 7 p.m. on CFRO Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. Always fresh and unexpected for over 20 years with hosts Aiden Saint and Sky. Juicy, in-depth interviews with musicians, writers, performers, queer organizations, and families. Find out how fabulous and varied queer life really is. A show for all sexualities. Expect the unexpected. Fresh fruit every Thursday night at 7 p.m. on 102.7 FM. Catch a live stream at cooperadio.org or on cable in Greater Vancouver and across Canada on Star Choice Channel 845. Contact us at queerradiovancouver@gmail.com.
CITR has more friends than ever before. We've partnered with tons of local businesses to bring you great discounts in the communities where you live, work, and play. Maybe Main Street is your main drag. Present your Friends of CITR card at Red Cat Records, Lucky's Comics, Devil May Wear, Thriller, Blim, The Kiss Store, The Wallflower Modern Diner, RX Comics, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Vinyl Records, Regional Assembly of Text, and Twig and Hottie to receive fabulous discounts. So become a CITR member, get a free Friends card, and feel the love.
Looking to take your career to the next level? Then get ready. Here comes Dr. Career on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or online at citr.ca. He will inform, inspire, and give you practical steps to successfully land your next dream job.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Philippe DeRoche, also known as Dr. Career. If you're just joining us, we were talking to the author, Lee Miller, recent book, Get More Money on Your Next Job in Any Economy. Also a future book coming out right around the corner, Women's Guide to Successful Negotiations. Before the break, I'd ask you to address this issue of my friend having his wife who is going to have a baby, and the employer is seeing that. So she's starting to be on the out. So here's a woman who's spent 10 years to become a notary, worked very hard to get there, and not only is she not negotiating her salary, she's also, as a future childbearer, being put on the out. So I imagine childbearing has a huge impact on negotiations. So how does a woman negotiate her salary in light of potentially having a baby?
Well, here's the interesting thing in that situation. It really... underlies the key to being successful negotiating. She's starting to talk about having a baby, and the natural reaction of the employer is going to be, wait a second, how's she going to take care of my business? I've got to start protecting myself. What she should be talking about is, how am I going to do my work effectively after I have the baby? When she focuses on what the employer cares about, all of a sudden, instead of, she's a valuable employee, he's going to want to keep her, and all of a sudden, his focus is totally different. It's not about worrying about her, not taking care of the clients. It's oh my goodness, what a great employee! Here she's focusing on how she's going to be effective after she has the baby. By doing that, by thinking about what the other person cares about, you're going to be much more effective at getting what you want. Negotiating, in this case, the balance she needs to both do her job effectively and raise the child, time off, whatever, working from home. Again, the employer is going to be very willing to do that if he sees that the purpose, at least the purpose that she is expressing, is to be able to effectively serve her clients, as opposed to, for my own selfish purpose of, I want the time off and so I can take care of my job. The key to negotiating is you're doing both, but you're focusing in terms of getting what you want on what the other person cares about.
Yeah, I like that. Chris Flett, he has a great quote. He calls it profitable pregnancy. His wife was the foundation or the founder of that quote because she had managed to, she's a lawyer, she managed to negotiate a profitable pregnancy where she made it work for her and her employer. So I like that. So advice, I'm going to tell her. I'm going to, after our call, I'm going to call my buddy and say, okay, this is what you got to do. So I like that. Because it impacts the whole family, the kids as well. There's huge implications here. I want to just also ask you, around negotiating, are women less likely to negotiate than men? I mean, I think it's an obvious, but I want to hear from you.
The answer is yes, until they know that they're expected to, and women more so than men are motivated by fairness and the notion of fairness. So once they realize that not negotiating results in their being treated unfairly, and they learn how to negotiate and feel comfortable, they are not only more likely to negotiate, they are actually very often better negotiators, like my daughter, who is my co-author on my book.
Oh, is that right? Oh, so you brought your daughter in to write, to co-author the book. So she might have said, did she?
And my daughter is a very effective negotiator. She's a commercial real estate broker. And so she does big deals, you know, million-dollar deals all the time. So she's not only would I say she's learned everything I could teach her, she brings other things to the table that probably make her an even better negotiator than I am.
Where are women? Why are women better than men in negotiating when they decide to do it?
Well, because the two things that women tend to do better than men are build relationships and listen, which are critical skills. What they tend to do less well than men are kind of the understanding the process and being willing to ask for a lot and being, frankly, making sure that their interests are taken care of.
Right.
Again, those are things that are easy to learn, so once women learn them, they can be very, very good negotiators. Learning to listen better, you can do it, I teach it, but it's hard. And learning to build relationships is also more difficult. Again, you can do that. So women bring certain skills, some natural skills that they tend to do better than men to the table. And when they couple those with the things you can learn about how you negotiate, that tends to make women excellent negotiators.
That's interesting. I want to hear your opinion. I have negotiated maybe three or four times in the last 5 years. And the only reason I negotiate is because I know that if I don't, I'll get resentful towards my employer and I don't want to die of cancer. I just don't want to be an angry person. So that's my motivator. What in your experience is what motivates someone to do it? I can imagine it's more money, but I don't do it for more money. I do it because I'll be pissed off. Is that valid or...
Everybody's motivated. That's a key, again, a key thing to negotiate is everybody's motivated differently. Not only is it important to understand your own motivations, it's really important to understand what will motivate the people you're negotiating with to give you what you want. So
okay.
That's a critical skill set. We all negotiate for different reasons. At this point in my life, I often negotiate just to learn things, to improve my skills. Again, that's because I teach it and I always want to get better. And for me also at this point, it tends not to be the money, although when it's someone else involved, you know, that I'm working with, obviously it is the money for them. And for me, though, it's doing a good job for them that motivates. But there's no wrong motivation. The key is whatever your motivation is, if you don't negotiate, you're actually not doing yourself any favor and probably not doing the other person any favor either, because negotiating is a process which, if done properly, everybody wins with.
Yeah, that's, you talk about that in your book, Win-Win. I want to address here, before we have to let you go, we're almost done here, is clear takeaways. So Two of them that really jumped out of your book that I really that I liked. One were negotiate the position, not the salary. And the second was this silence is golden. Can you address those two issues?
Sure. Negotiating the position is easy. The best thing you can do is get, you know, you don't get, there's nothing for nothing in life. So if you can make the job bigger, if you can take on more responsibility, get more, get a bigger title, you're going to get automatically get more money. So to the extent you can make the job more important and bigger, more even, and take on more responsibility, which is something employers tend to like, more money will follow. So that's what I mean by negotiate the position, not the salary. And the silence is golden. You know what? We talk too much. Most people are uncomfortable with silence. You're better off listening than talking. So sometimes when somebody puts something out on the table, the best thing you can do is say, you just be silent and let them come back to you. I mean, sometimes when you're negotiating, the best thing to say when you get an offer is, you know, I'm really excited about the job. Let me think about the offer, mm-hmm. and let me take some time. And sometimes in that interim, the employer will actually increase the offer mm-hmm. because they'll get nervous that you're it's not enough. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the key to negotiating your employment is to make the other side both understand you really want the job, but that it's got to be right, the deal has to be right, that you don't need the job.
Mm. Yeah, I have this a million questions running through my mind. I'm sure the listener as well is at that stage. Unfortunately, we're down to about a minute, and I have my last question. By the way, after the answer, I'll have a chance to mention where you can get a copy of your book. Actually, both book. One's coming out soon, too. I call it the graveyard secret, and that is that graveyard, that secret to successful negotiations that you potentially would take to the graveyard. It's so valuable to you. Like, you don't even write about it. It's so valuable. What would be your graveyard secret if you were to have one?
My graveyard secret is you have to be able to say no, be willing to walk away, because if you're not, then you can't negotiate effectively. And that doesn't mean you have to even put the job offer at risk. But in the end, if what's being offered to you is unfair, you have to be willing to say no. And if you're willing to say no, it's much less likely that you'll ever have to say no.
If you're willing to say no, you're less likely to have to say no. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Lee, where can they get your books, the current one and your future book?
Well, you can always get them on Amazon, and you can get both of them have been published by McGraw-Hill, so you can get them through McGraw-Hill as well. Mm. Or you can get them on my website, negotiationplus.com.
Yeah, it was on your site as well. I saw that, so that was some very valuable information.
Negotiationplus spelled out, PLUS.com.
PLUS.com, right. So negotiation with negotiation no S. Plus. I'm just looking at the site here.
No S.
Negotiationplus, PLUS.com. Great. Lee, thank you very much for being on the show. I took a lot from it. I'm sure our listeners did as well. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Philippe.
That's great. Thank you very much. That's it, folks. You've been listening to Career Fast Track. I'm your host, Philippe Desrochers. Thank you for being around and for being with us today. We discussed negotiating your salary. It's a very practical tool. I had read this book. I loved it. I thought it'd be of value to you, so hopefully you received value. If you have any questions, be sure to email me. If you want more information from the show or follow-up questions that were raised while we were doing the show, email me at directly to me, Philippe, P-H-I-L-I-P-P-E, at dr-career.com. Don't be shy. Thank you, everyone.